And good morning, Fatima.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you so much for coming on the show this morning. Can you tell us, I guess, the kind of conditions that he's currently facing in prison at the moment?
Hakim was transferred to a real prison, so it's not a detention center anymore. He is not allowed to use phone or email to communicate with his wife or his family members. An Australian journalist had visited him, and she came up with a story saying that he is in a cell with 50 other people. Most of them are criminals. They sleep on the concrete floor with no beds. And he said that the cell is so tiny that there is no space or no to roll while they are sleeping. So Hakim is in really bad conditions right now. We are concerned about his well-being because he cannot communicate with anyone. So all the prisoners around him spoke the Tamil language, and he does not, so there is no way to communicate with them. And he had no opportunity to communicate with his family members or his friends.
Oh, wow. He must feel very, I guess, isolated and quite cramped in such a horrible condition there. How did Bahrain obtain an Interpol red notice for Hakim when he is under refugee status in Australia in the first place?
That's a very important point. We are very concerned about this point because Hakim was convicted in Bahrain in 2012. Before he fled to Australia, he came to Australia and sought asylum and was granted asylum like last year. The Interpol red notice should not be issued against refugees, especially if the red notice is from the country which they fled. Our point of concern is that the red notice was issued against Hakim in the 8th of November. This year, in 2018, so last year, after he applied for Thai visa. So how did Bahrain knew that Hakim was flying to Thailand in November?
Yeah, right, okay. So I guess it's quite a simple charge, really, vandalism, and it happened in 2012. Why do you think Bahrain is so determined to have him extradited back?
I think, and it's not my only, it's not my personal thought, is that Bahrain is not concerned about Hakim because of the charge they convicted him of. They are concerned about, they want Hakim because he already spoken publicly about the human rights violations happening in the country in 2016. He criticized a prominent member of the royal family, who is the AFC president, Sheikh Salman bin Ibrahim Al Khalifa.
Right.
He criticized him publicly. He convicted him about that he knew that there are Bahraini athletes who are tortured and targeted because of their participation in the peaceful pro-democracy protests in the kingdom in 2011. And he did nothing. While at that time he was the chairman of the Bahraini Football Association, so it was his duty to protect his players, and he didn't. He was convicted of being involved in targeting those athletes. We think that this is the main reason why Bahrain is still wanting Hakim.
Yeah, wow. So it runs quite deep if the head of the FC board is wanting him back to Bahrain purely because he's been outspoken against him. What awaits Hakim if he is extradited to Bahrain, and when will he find out if he is going to be extradited?
If Hakim was extradited to Bahrain, he will face a minimum of 10 years in jail because that was the sentence against him. But we also think that he might be subjected to another unfair trial because of his criticism of the Bahraini authorities. That is something which the Bahraini authorities won't allow to happen. So all their opponents and dissidents are are charged over political based charges of like terrorism and something like that. So they are using their judiciary system to punish their opponents who just speak publicly or criticize them. When we will know if Hakim will be extradited to Bahrain, that's a matter of the Thai authorities. They said that Hakim will stay in Thailand so they extend his detention period between 60 to 90 days until they obtain some documents from Bahrain. So his next hearing should be between mid-February to mid-March. We're not sure if the court will say its final word at that time, or they may extend his detention more. The Australian Foreign Minister, Marie Spain, said last week that Hakim's case might last for a year in Thailand.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, you just mentioned Maurice Payne. I guess she is in the middle of, I guess, talking to the Thai government, about the release of Hakim. What other actions do you think need to be taken by the Australian government to ensure the release of him to us instead of Bahrain?
We believe that the Australian government is working hard, especially the Foreign Minister, Maurice Payne. We believe that she is doing maybe all what she can to ensure Hakim's safety. But also we believe that the Australian government and the Foreign Minister can do much more to ensure Hakim's safety and to ensure that he will be allowed to return back to Australia. We urged them previously and we are urging them to lead like a global coalition, a diplomatic coalition, to put pressure on the Thai authorities to allow Hakim to return back to Australia, because his trial in Thailand is illegal. He didn't commit any crime, neither in Thailand nor in Bahrain. And his records in Australia showed that he didn't have any fines, or he didn't do any wrong thing. So he shouldn't be in prison now. He should be in the football playgrounds. He should be participating in the Asian Cup. He should be playing with his Pasco Vale team members. So we urge the Australian authorities to do all what they can to bring Hakim back. Also, we knew that the lawyer applied for his citizenship. He was only 4 days away from being eligible to the Australian citizenship. She lodged the application, and she said that there is a ministerial discretion which can be on this basis Hakim can be granted citizenship. So also we urge the Minister of Immigration and the Minister of Home Affairs to grant Hakim the Australian citizenship.
Yeah, wow. I guess 4 days away, it's cutting it so close, and that's very unfortunate as well. But I guess if they are able to find that, I guess, not loophole, but of the essence of that kind of word, that'd be fantastic if they are able to give him the Australian citizenship. I guess more of a global approach, in your opinion, what message does Hakim's imprisonment send to refugees worldwide?
We fear, or we are concerned, that Hakim's case is a negative message to the refugees around the world, because no one now will feel safe to travel from the country he is in. If the Interpol red notice was issued against Hakim while he is a refugee, and so against the Interpol's regulations, so it's something dangerous for all the refugees around the world.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the coming, I guess, as the tension goes on, the 60 to 90 days, whether he does get extradited, or whether Australia is able to do more than what they're currently doing and get his refugee status back over here in Australia and get him, I don't know, back in safe hands would be the best, I guess, best outcome for Hakim. But thank you so much, Fatima, for joining us this morning and explaining the situation to us.
Thank you very much.